You can meet and hear Bill Barr, Albert Moeller, Pavi Rossinen, Chris Roseborough, Brian Wolfmiller, Joel Bierman, and Will Wheaton at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th in Chicago. For more information, visit IssuesETC.org or call 618-223-8385. The 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 24th and 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. We can look back in history and read about the challenges that our theological forebears faced. In my case, it would be Lutherans in America. They faced a lot of challenges. They were trying to maintain what was by then a relatively old thread of Christianity. Well, yes, going on 250 years at the time. And they wanted to remain faithful to Scripture and the confessions, but they faced, even in their own countries, terrible opposition to that faithfulness. When they came to America, they found a whole new set of challenges, and of course, those challenges have not ceased today. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, joining us for some reflections on the 175th anniversary of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. Pastor Matt Harrison, he's president of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, author of several books, including Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran? And a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Only Jesus. Matt, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Blessed Holy Week.
You say that serving 10 years as president of the LCMS has taught you that you are not significant. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think I was noting the huge trends in culture, society, the world, communication, and the effects on the church, the long history of the church. And, you know, a president can push for certain things, he can appoint floor committees and end up with resolutions that are good before a convention or not good. But finally, you know, a decade is really insignificant in the life of the church. It is God's word and will that sustains in the midst of this huge sea of religious ambiguity and delusion, and really, I'm just not that significant.
How are the teachings and practices of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod viewed by the world today?
Well, I think there are still many, many religious people, many decent people who have not rejected natural law, for instance. But I think probably to the reigning cultural views, I think we are simply some kind of troglodytes. We are some kind of extraneous oddball organization that has somehow continued to exist because of the ridiculousness of our views being accepted by our people. Don't you think?
So, how was that situation similar to that of the 14 congregations that started the LCMS?
Well, read the history of the Synod and the fathers and mothers, the founders, and you find out they were in a very similar situation. C.F.W. Walther was absolutely convinced in the early 1840s that St. Louis was so utterly decadent that the return of Christ was absolutely certain, imminently. And it was bad. There were horrible morals, terrible illnesses going on, all kinds of issues with the rejection of Christianity and true religion. Many atheists had come from Germany in 1848 with the revolutions that had occurred in the old countries. So it was the wild, wild west. When C.F.W. Walther and the Saxons came with under Martin Stephan, got off the boat under the arch, basically, in front of the old courthouse. The arch wasn't there then, but the courthouse was. It was a difficult day because there was a German Union congregation, product of the Prussian Union that was sitting under what is now the old Busch Stadium, was on that ground, called Heiliger Geist, Holy Spirit. And there were also German newspapers, the Anzeiger des Westens, and they started really hammering these Orthodox Lutherans. And they were a little easy to hammer, too, because of the failings of their leader, but they were being hammered for being Orthodox Lutherans in large measure. And so it was no easy go, and it was a difficult go for the Missouri Synod throughout its history.
What was certain for those founding congregations?
They knew the gospel. They believed that the Word of God clearly teaches the six chief parts of the catechism. You know, one time I was urging an organization to emphasize the catechism, and somebody said, oh, no, we can't do that. That's way too Lutheran. Our people aren't going to get that, and we won't be able to reach out. And I said, well, what is more ecumenical than the six chief parts? Ten Commandments, Creed, Lord's Prayer, Baptism, Absolution, Lord's Supper. There's hardly a Christian church in the world that doesn't know about those things. They were convinced of the absolute truth of those things taught on the basis of the Bible in Luther's catechism. And they knew the freeing gospel of Christ. And that's what animated them. Despite all their weaknesses and failings, like we have today, they were driven by that truth. And they came as missionaries, as settlers, as church planters, you name it.
Talk about the significance of C.F.W. Walther's Der Lutheraner newsletter.
In 1844, Walther decided to start publishing a newspaper that would be sent around to those who subscribed to it, and it was called The Lutheran, Der Lutheraner. And its motto was, Das Wort Gottes und Luther's there, wird vergehet nimmermehr, if I've got the German right. The Word of God and Luther's teaching shall never pass away. And, of course, these Lutherans, these confessional Lutherans, were lonely. The Lutherans in the east of the country, which had been settled 100 years earlier, were losing their confession. Simon Samuel Schmucker was working on his plan to alter the Augsburg Confession and cut out baptism as something that saves and cut out the real presence of the Lord's Supper, which forgives sins, and cut out absolution. These were the Lutherans that were in America. The Midwestern Lutherans came later, Walther and company, and this newspaper began to pull people together from around the country, here and there, in Michigan, in Ohio, in Indiana, in Illinois. A number of them had been sent by Wilhelm Lea as pastor missionaries to complete their training in the U.S. But there they were, and they discovered slowly that there were other Lutherans in this country, other confessional Lutherans. And that little band got together in 1847, third year of Walther's publication. They got together and formed a little tiny church body.
So it was theology, the teaching of Scripture and the Lutheran confessions, that brought them together.
It was completely theology. Walther's magazine had articles by himself, many of them. It had articles by other pastors and other clippings about what was going on, but it was overwhelmingly theological, and it was also read by lay people. Thankfully, Joel Baisley has translated all of these early editions of Der Lutheraner, so you can find them. You know, there were articles like Why Lutherans Retain Crucifixes and Liturgical Practices, issues that remain contemporary, but especially what the gospel is, what the true gospel is, what's false about certain denominations' teachings. It was filled with all kinds of Luther readings and pointing people to great books. It was something we still do.
Many today characterize the early synod's mission to reach out to German immigrants as isolationist. How do you respond to that?
It's simply ignorance, gross ignorance. There were so many Germans coming to this country that our fathers in the faith had their hands absolutely full. They were inundated. These Germans came in wave after wave. And they came largely as economic immigrants. My relatives came as that about 1900. And they settled all around. Now, they were in Baltimore and in New York, these pilger houses, these homes for pilgrims, so-called, would welcome these Germans as they got off the boats, and then they would send them toward communities and churches around the country. So they were doing outreach right there. Many of these Germans got caught up in all kinds of sects and strange organizations. There were these millennial groups all over the place, and in that day and age, the Methodists were Pentecostals, basically, with camp meetings and no penetrating understanding of the gospel of justification by grace through faith. And so they were busy as could possibly be visiting all these people, getting out to their homesteads, their farmsteads, their lonely cabins, baptizing children, traveling about, trying to build churches, planting churches in various places. Friedrich Winneken, probably was instrumental in planting 20, 30 congregations himself in the Fort Wayne, Michigan area. So what happened was in 1872, a bunch of English speakers came to Walther and Company and said, "We want to join the Missouri Synod." And Walther said, "Well, we have absolutely got our hands full trying to do German." Walther could speak English, by the way. And these waves kept coming until 1900 or after 1900. So why don't you turn to English speakers and become an English synod, and we'll be in fellowship. And that's what happened. That English synod then joined the Missouri Synod in 1911 as the English district of the Missouri Synod.
Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're talking about the 175th anniversary of that church body. When we come back, what new challenges do LCMS congregations and members face today? When Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, does he mean the only way, truth, and life? I answer that question in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In our Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Christopher Neuendorf writes about his journey into Lutheranism from Greek Orthodoxy. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Truth, freedom, and vocation are the pillars of a Concordia University Chicago education. Through them, we form our students for lives of influence and service for the common good. This is the education American society needs right now. I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for truth, freedom, and vocation to become the pillars of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Luther was right. Doctrine is life. Life before God, obviously, because we now have salvation and eternal life and justification and grace. But doctrine also teaches us a great deal about life now in this world.
Dr. Joel Bierman talking about his presentation at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference at Concordia University, Chicago.
How one sees the world all around has been called a worldview. Right doctrine leads us to a right way of seeing the world and our place in it, what we might call a Lutheran worldview. Learning how better to see all of God's world is something I believe that all of us can benefit from as we seek to follow in the train of Luther, who taught us that doctrine is life.
You can meet and hear Dr. Joel Bierman making the case for a Lutheran worldview Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th at the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. We're getting President Matt Harrison's reflections on the 175th anniversary of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Your link to issues, etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Folks, we are 2.5 months away from the 2022 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, and we only have room for 50 more attendees. Attendance is limited to 500. Making the Case is Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. You can meet and hear Dr. Albert Moeller of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, Finnish parliamentarian Dr. Pavi Rossinen, Pastor Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith, Dr. Joel Bierman of Concordia Seminary, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller of Has American Christianity Failed, and Pastor Will Whedon of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Making the Case, June 24th and 25th in River Forest, Illinois. Matt, what new challenges do LCMS congregations and members face today?
These new challenges are indeed old challenges in the church. The church has been around for a long time. The challenge is to reach out to our community, those in our community and in our neighborhoods. And those people are of many different racial backgrounds, different religious backgrounds. And a challenge we have, I think, is believing that the Word of God actually does what it says, and to go out fearlessly, sharing the gospel, finding ways to connect with the community, to invite people in. You know, there's a great Missouri Synod organization, Christian Friends of New Americans here in St. Louis, and they have invited hundreds and hundreds of immigrants into the church, baptized, confirmed. It's fabulous. So it's still happening. And we face a culture that is rabidly opposed to us. The absolute denigration of natural law or any kind of reason on all the sexual issues that's happened in our universities is just breathtaking. And our young people, as we well know, are heavily affected by this. And we can't soft pedal. While we need to have compassion on all people and absolutely on those who struggle with issues of sexuality, we need to have a clear message: repent and believe the gospel. Take up your cross and follow me. We all have heavy crosses in various ways. Take up your cross and follow me. My sheep hear my voice. Jesus says, male and female, he created them. God himself made marriage to be between a male and a female. And what you are is not determined by your emotions or your internal viewpoints. What you are is determined by a creator God. God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he makes you, and you are absolutely precious because you are his creature. That message is very, very vital for our day.
Over those 175 years, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod has established a lot of, the fancy word might be infrastructure, a lot of resources, a lot of schools. All those things have been built by our predecessors. How has God equipped the Synod to face these challenges in the future?
We have a clear confession of Christ. We believe that the Scriptures are God's inerrant and authoritative and effective word. We believe in the power of the Word of God. And we have institutions that our forefathers have built. Now, I hear often today that institutions are not significant, they're not important, they're not really a significant part of the church's life. Well, it's very interesting. Institutions were created to propel a mission. The purpose for the Missouri Synod that has been overwhelmingly proclamation of the gospel, education of children in light of the gospel, education of older people in light of the gospel, mercy organizations, etc. The synod is not divinely mandated. If the synod itself is not carrying out its mission, if it is not carrying out its mission according to its own confessional standards, Article 2 of the Constitution and the Bible, the synod must be reformed. And so every institution constantly needs to be reformed. If our schools are not carrying through with the gospel pure and simple, if the Holy Scriptures do not rule at our universities and every single grade school and preschool, it needs to be reformed. there is no other option for us. Reform, fidelity, fidelity to mission.
Talk about how the time is right for the LCMS to boldly confess in every way possible.
Look, there's nothing to lose. It's a challenging, challenging day. And we are alive today. The Lord has placed us here. One can look in the history of the church, look at the time of Augustine, for instance, when 430, he's active or dies about 430 AD, and the empire is facing its demise within a short period of time. Christians have always found themselves in very, very difficult times. The blessing of living in these times is it's never been clearer what is church and what is not church, and what is Christ and what is not Christ. It's absolutely clear for anybody who wants to actually look at what the text of the scriptures has to say and evaluate the culture based on the scriptures. You can make stuff up, but you can't be in the church when you make stuff up, at least not in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We have a public, clear confession, and we have a message that people need to hear more than ever. It is tragic that so many people have turned from churches in general, but churches in general have often quit preaching the gospel and turned it into social gospel, or simply made the church some other kind of institution about feel-goodism or health, wealth, and prosperity or something like that. We have the opportunity to proclaim the clear gospel where the Lord has planted us, and we've got great people doing it. We got faithful pastors, 5,700 of them, and we got 6,000 congregations, and the Lord continues to bless. We've been declining. That's a function of demographics and the huge, I'd say, unprecedented move away from the church that is occurring just in the last decade and a half. But we also have thousands coming into the church, thousands of new children baptized, thousands of adult confirmations coming into the church all the time.
Speak to the Lutheran parent and grandparent who is fearful for the future of their children and their grandchildren.
Oh, believe me, as a new grandfather, I really resonate with this. I was visiting a Lutheran family some years ago on a farm, and I wasn't feeling well, so I stayed behind for the day. The guys were hunting, and this little boy was at home with his grandmother, and the grandmother was in the kitchen baking, and she says, "You're not watching that cartoon channel that's so bad, are you?" And he said, "No, I'm not," and he wasn't watching that one. But the cartoon channel he was watching depicted a boy who was in a horrible home situation. Parents, mother and father fighting, just terrible. And then the boy goes over to his neighbor's house where the child has two fathers, and it's serene and everything's marvelous. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is what a five-year-old is taking in. And yet, on the other hand, I worried about my own kids, and somehow this is a significant thing for them, the decline of the culture and its craziness, but they're strong. They've grown up in it. They grew up in a challenging circumstance. And through their mother, they've learned the Word of God especially. And I helped a bit along the way, fervent in prayers. And this stuff doesn't faze them. So it's a challenge. We know that we lose many young people prior to confirmation and prior to young adulthood. That's always been the case, and it's more intense now. But we know that once we have them in church in young adulthood, we retain them as well as anybody and better than most all other churches in the country.
Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. He's author of several books, including Why Am I Joyfully Lutheran? And a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Only Jesus. Matt, thanks.
Thank you, Todd. God bless you.
The Lutheran Witness magazine interprets the world from a Lutheran perspective. You can receive an annual print and digital subscription for less than $20. Learn more at lcms.org/witness or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-332-2484. 325-3040, the Lutheran Witness Magazine. Tuesday on Issues Etc., we'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on Peter escaping prison in Acts chapter 12, and we'll respond to your email, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.